Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a great service today, a great sermon. We're going to talk about a question that I've been asked over and over and over, and that is, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And yes, we will. And I'm going to give you 9 reasons from the Bible. So call your friends and tell them we're going to have a time when we see if we know our loved ones in heaven. I wondered about that. Call your friends and let them know. Now, before the message, I always read some of the letters because we hear from so many of you and you say, oh, I just love to hear from others and see where they are and who they are, and then I can pray for them. And so we always share some of the letters. Then I'll give the address and everything at the close of the service. So you get your pencil and paper ready, and I know you maybe want to write too. One of our letters comes from Fountain, Florida, and they write like this. Dear Christian Worship Hour, we are now enjoying your program on Daystar. Several years ago, we lost a son-in-law and father and one of our grandchildren to suicide. On your past telecast, we heard mention of scriptural proof of heaven for suicide victims. Do you have a pamphlet or booklet to help us with this tragedy? Thank you for addressing this subject. I don't think any member of our family has been able to put this behind us, especially our daughter. We hope your ministry can shine some light on this subject. And what they're talking about is a booklet I've written. It's about 14 pages, and it will be, and can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you know the Lord, if you've accepted Jesus, you'll go to heaven if you commit suicide. You shouldn't do it, but if you do, you'll go to heaven. And you get your pencil and paper. Going to give you that at the end of the service. Here's Lebanon, Missouri. And they say, I enjoy the Christian Worship Hour. There are a lot of us that watch, and we call each other and see if the other watches. So many of us seniors and shut-ins can't go to church. Keep up the good work. We all pray for your services, and God bless you. We all love you. And you'd be surprised the number of people we hear from, and they'll listen in their particular part of the city or state or in the country. And then they'll call each other and they'll say, did you hear the service? What'd you think? And some like them, maybe some don't. I don't know. I hope some of them like them. But they're good services because there's the Bible. We're preaching the Bible. You can't go wrong. You can't have a bad sermon when you preach the Bible. And so we just like to hear different ones. Sometimes mothers call their children, children call their parents, and oh, it's great. Well, here's Orange, California. I really enjoy your program, and when I go to bed, I watch your devotional on my phone. Hearing the Word of God right before sleep is a great way to end the day. And so we have a little devotional that we put on, and you just internet devotional, and it's just about a minute long. It's not very long, but it carries a truth, a Bible truth. And here somebody reads, listens to that, and instead of watching a ball game, they listen to a devotional, and they grow spiritually, and they're blessed, and they sleep better. Try it and see, and let us know. And let me see, I have one more, Lamar's, Iowa. I have to read this. I am enjoying your newscast, and of course, every hour spent on my TV for Pastor Salem's sermons. I am 103 years old, and thankful to be still in God's great world in Christian love. Well, here this lady, I'm only 94, and she's 103, and I'm very jealous of her. And isn't that wonderful? Here she is, loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and saying her prayers, and I'm no praying for others and helping others. So we have so many good, wonderful letters, and we just want to thank you for writing. And I changed my mind. I'm going to give you the address right now while I got it on my mind. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so just to jot that down And those of you on shortwave radio, you get that in box 2002, Aberdeen. And, oh, we'd love to hear from you. Just help us and bless us. Now, today, we're going to think about this wonderful subject, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And this is a question that has been asked over and over and over. And we just talk about heaven. Now, Jesus talked about heaven. He says in John 14, 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And that place is called heaven. And he promised his disciples, that's what he's doing now, preparing a place for those who love him. Those who trust him, receive him as their Savior. And Paul talked about heaven, and he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Philippians 1:23. And again, Paul talks about death, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 to 8, and he talks about leaving this world and going to that other world, going to heaven to be with Jesus. He writes, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and at present with the Lord. And so the moment we die, the moment we take our last breath, we're with the Lord. We talk about the valley of the shadow of death. That's just one breath away. And you remember when Jesus talked to the thief on the cross, and he said he believed in him and he trusted him. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Today. So there isn't any such thing as soul sleep that some people teach. And it's the moment we die, we're with the Lord. And it's just in a split second. Charles Spurgeon had a good illustration of that. And he writes and says, we measure distance by time. We are not to say that a certain place is so many hours from us. He says it's 100, if it is 100 miles off and there's no railroad, we think it is a long way. If there is a railroad, we think we can be there in no time. So he says, but how near must we say between us and heaven? For it is just one sigh. And we get there, 1 second. And before the mortician can even come for your body, we'll be in heaven with the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And he's with us to take us to that spot. And so heaven is an actual literal place. And it is referred to as being above and God's dwelling place. And we get there in just one breath. Now, will we know our loved ones in heaven? We can be sure of that because the Bible teaches in so many ways. It doesn't say in just no verse it says we will know our loved ones in heaven. But there's so many different ways that God shows us and points out so that we know we'll see our loved ones and know them in heaven. For instance, you take Mary Magdalene, and she recognized Jesus in his glorified body. He was raised, and Jesus knew him, and Mary knew Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, God tells us, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We will be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And then in Philippians 3 verse 21, we have the very same thought expressed in a different way. And that scripture says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. In other words, our resurrected bodies are going to be like the resurrected body of our Lord. And Mary understood and knew Jesus when she saw him and looked upon him. So we can say this, will we know that people, where after the resurrection, we will know them just like Mary knew Jesus. Now look at Mary, the story of Mary, for instance. It's in John chapter 20, if you want to read it afterwards. Mary came to the sepulcher weeping, and she looks into the tomb, and then she sees the angels, and she talks to the angels, and then she turns away, and through her tears, and only partially turned, she turned herself just a little ways, and she saw partially out of the corner of an eye. She saw a person behind her, and she assumed that it was the gardener, the man in charge of the cemetery. And so when it was not the gardener, it was the resurrected Jesus. And so Jesus speaks to her. He says, just this one word. He says, Mary. And she instantly knows him. And she cries out, Rabboni, which is teacher, my teacher. And with outstretched arms, she rushes to him. So here is Jesus in his resurrected body, the body he's going to have in heaven. And Mary knew him immediately after she got her eyes off of the tomb and got full vision of Jesus and saw him. She knew him and she loved him and she called him her wonderful teacher. Yes, Mary tells us, you'll know your loved ones in heaven just like I knew Jesus when I was in the garden, garden tomb. And then we have the story of Cleopas and his companion on their way to Emmaus. And that gives us the same hope that we will know Jesus in his resurrected body, and we will know all of our loved ones when they're raised up and they have that same resurrected body. We will know them just like these disciples knew Jesus. And you remember they have these two men are walking from Jerusalem, and Jesus has been crucified, and they haven't heard that he was raised from the dead. They just saw that he was dead, and now they're going back to their home in Emmaus, and they're brokenhearted, and they're sad. And then Jesus comes, and he joins them. And it says in Luke 24 and verse 16, he says that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That is, the New International Version has it, they were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus, when he purposely blinded the eyes of these two disciples, he fixed something so they couldn't see him clearly or plainly and recognize him. And he did that for a purpose, because he wanted to give them a message. And he wanted to give them a message of the risen Christ. And he wanted to do it because he wanted to have them then go and witness for him. And so he holds them so they don't quite see while he gives them his lesson. And after he gives them his lesson, then we're told that they recognized the resurrected Christ. And they understood and they saw him. And they go back to Jerusalem and they tell the disciples, the followers of Jesus, we have seen the risen Christ, but they knew him the moment he took that from their eyes, and they could see, they could understand and see and know the risen Christ. And so in like manner, when we get to heaven, we're going to recognize Jesus, and we're going to recognize the saints of all ages, and we're going to recognize and know our loved ones. There can be no question about it. The third reason we will know our loved ones is in Thessalonians chapter 4. And here Paul is writing, and he tells us, he gives us hope, and he gives us comfort, and it gives us encouragement that what we're going to see and know Jesus. For instance, Paul explains to these people, if the people at Thessalonica, some of the Christians had died, and they didn't know about the resurrection then. They didn't. They wondered, well, what will ever happen to them? And will we ever see them again? We probably never see them again. And it bothered them because the Christians had died. And so Paul came and he writes to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. And this is what he said. The dead, when Jesus comes again, he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that's who they're worrying about, these people that have died. He says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then he says, those that remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever we be with the Lord. And so then he says, comfort one another with these words. And that simply means to me that this wonderful part of that comfort is seeing our loved ones again. and knowing them and talking to them. Well, they're those they were in the grave and they were raised up, and then we're caught up with them. And he says, be of comfort. You're going to all be together again. You knew each other while you were on earth. Now you're going to know each other as you're on your way to heaven. You go up into glory. And he says, that's a great comfort in that. If they were a bunch of strangers, what comfort is there in that? They're just a lot of people raised up. But no, my brothers, my sister, my mother, my father, my life, my wife. Oh, my dear God Almighty, there's joy and rejoicing. Will we know our loved ones in heaven after the resurrection? Oh, indeed we will. And then the fourth reason we know our loved ones is the story of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he is teaching. He's taking Peter, James, and John with him, and he's going up to worship, and then he's transfigured in front of them. But while they are there, there are two disciples, two of the people came from the other world. Moses came and Elijah came. Now Moses had been dead for 1,500 years. And Elijah had been dead for at least 900 years. And yet, without any introduction, Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah. They knew them. That's a picture of knowing them after the death. They had never seen them before. They've heard about them and worshiped them with their writings that they've given them and all the rest. But they knew them without any introduction. They knew them after death. And so when we die, we're going to know Adam, and we're going to know Eve, and we're going to know Elijah. We're going to know all of them, every last one of them. Oh, glory. Yes, we'll know our loved ones after death. And you know, for instance, these people, as a matter of fact, there we think that probably those who are lost and those who are going into hell will also remember and know these people. Because, for instance, we're told in Luke 13, verse 28, there shall Jesus, now this is what Jesus said. Jesus talked about hell. They say, oh, you shouldn't preach about hell. Who said so? Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. Why? Because he delighted in it? No, because he's warning you, warning you, warning you. You've got to be born again. You've got to have Jesus Christ, because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And he warns us over and over. This is what Jesus says. Luke 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom, and yourselves thrust out. They will see those people after death and know them, even the unsaved. And there'll be a terrible, sorrowful time. And oh my God, while we pray every time in the Christian worship hour, almost with tears, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Receive him. Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll love you and serve you. I'll make you the Lord of my life. Oh, my God, that's all you have to do, but you have to do it. Fifth, we have the rich man remembered Lazarus after death. Luke chapter 16, you all know the story. And after death, there's a rich man called Dives, and he sees Abraham. Now, Abraham had lived 2,000 years before, and yet the Dives understood and knew him and saw him, and he saw the beggar. And before I go any further, I'm going to tell you the rich man wasn't in hell because he was rich, and the beggar wasn't in heaven because he was poor. It's because the rich man rejected Jesus Christ, and the poor man, the beggar, accepted Jesus Christ. That's the way they get in, and that's the reason they're kept out. It's what are you going to do with Jesus? But they knew each other, and they recognized each other. And so it just is some wonderful way we'll know. And I'm reading about Martin Luther. And the night that he died, he was feeling reasonably well. And he sat at a table with some of his friends. And one of the things that they talked about before Martin Luther died that very night, they said, "Will we know our loved ones in heaven?" And Martin Luther said, "Yes, indeed we will." And this is how he reasoned it. He says, "The matter of their discourse, well, whether we know one another in heaven or not." Luther held it affirmatively, and this is one reason he gave. He says, "As Adam, as soon as he saw Eve, knew who she was, not by discourse or being introduced, but by divine revelation." That's what Luther said, and that's what I believe, that by divine revelation, we don't have to have an introduction to these people. We will just know them. And Adam knew Eve, and he'd never seen her before, never seen her. And the moment he saw her, he knew her, and he loved her. And so this is a big beauty, another picture of how we'll know our loved ones after death. And then there's another one. King David expected to know his son in the next world. He expected it. He just believed that. He just knew that for some reason. This is what David said. His infant son had died. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, David says, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David looked forward to seeing the day when he would see his son and be with his son. We will know a seventh. We will know our loved ones by each other because we shall know not less, but we shall know more than we do here. And I think a little old lady answered that as good as anybody could. They asked her if she would know her loved ones in heaven. And she says, "Of course I will. You think I'm going to be dumber in heaven than I am on earth?" And just common sense will tell you that. And then we have our Criswell says, "We won't know anybody really until we get to heaven, really know them." And Paul writes, he says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. We'll see better than we ever saw before." Yes, we'll know our loved ones in heaven. That wonderful Jesus, he makes that possible. And Kings then, number eight, reason we'll know people after death. And that's King Saul. He knew the prophet Samuel after Samuel was dead. And you remember the story, King Saul, this is the story is given in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And the Philistine, he's going to have a battle with the Philistines the next day. And the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul because of his wicked sins. And he wouldn't listen to God. So God says, "Then go your own way." And now he's alone. And of all the people he admired was Samuel. And he goes to the witch of Endor. And the witch says, "Who do you want to see?" He says, "I want to see Samuel." And the king saw Samuel and recognized him. Oh, yes, we'll know our loved ones in heaven, believe me. Over and over we see this wonderful story about trusting Jesus and knowing Jesus. And so we have to know that by putting our faith in him and trusting in him, we have everlasting life. And this is what Paul says. He tells us that we're going to see Christ. And then when we come to the last one, number nine, Stephen saw Jesus in heaven and he knew him. He says, he reads and he talks about it and he says in Acts 7, 55 and 56, he says, "But he being full of the Holy Spirit." Now what he's doing is Stephen is the first Christian martyr and they're stoning Stephen to death and he dies. And just before he dies, young godly Stephen looks up into heaven. And he said this, "He, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" So Stephen saw Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, there's something interesting there. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, awaiting the time when he comes back to earth again. But when Stephen saw Jesus, he wasn't sitting, he was standing. And it tells us that one of God's children suffering and agonizing and dying, Jesus stands to be with him, standing in love. And he does that every time a martyr is taken away. And Billy Graham, in a Decision magazine, we're told that read that there were more Christians died in 2015 than in any other century or any other time in the life of the Christian church. And when any one of those Christians dies, when they're being beheaded and dying for him, Jesus stands with them. And I think he helps them to see and to trust and to know, oh, Jesus. Yes, we'll know our loved ones in heaven, but you'll never get to heaven unless you accept Jesus. You've got to accept Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sins. I hope you'll do that. And then if you do that, you'll be sure to write to us. And I'm going to give you the address right now. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Or you can do ChristianWorshipHour.com and you can get us. And you can send us a gift on PayPal. And you can, but we need to have your help. You need to pray and say, now, should I help these people? Is this of the Lord? Dear Lord, what? Do you want me to help them? You just pray and God will tell you. And then you follow through and you write to that address. We got it on the screen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everyone who's worshiped with us today. I pray that every last one enters into the kingdom, enters, receives you as their personal Savior. And then we pray, Lord, for those who are hurting and those who are aged and those who are shut in and those who are hurting and those who are having hard times. Oh, God, bless them. And we pray for the Christians in Madagascar today. Then we just pray that you'll watch over them and help them and give them strength and help. And Lord, to those who are left behind, we know that you'll be close to them and never forsake them. We just love you, Lord. And we thank you for helping us and answering our prayers. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I want to thank you all for opening the door for us and letting us come in. We come every week as we come as long as God provides. But he has to provide through you. And you got the you're on the screen there. You got your address. You just write to us. And we're counting on your help. And those on the shortwave, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And we're just praying that God will bless and help you. And we'll be looking for you next week. And in the meantime, you pray for us. And we'll pray for you. And we'll all pray for Madagascar Christians. The whole world praying for them. And watch God will watch over and guide and direct and give them courage and strength. And then we'll just all someday get together. And you know what? I'll know you and you'll know me. I haven't seen you. You've seen me. And if you're on television, on shortwave, then you can't see me either. And that's all right. We'll see each other and we'll know each other. God bless you. God bless you. Everyone in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.